from American Dream. Full show here until Yankee pregame, brought to you by the New Jersey Hall of Fame here at American Dream. And Surfside iced tea and vodka, sunshine in a can. Usually I work with a legendary giant. That's okay. But now I'm surrounded by legendary Jets. First, we got the great Wade Krubeck. Give him a round of applause. And I was mad at you for about a year when you went to Washington, but then you came home, the great Lavernius Coles. Thank you, fellas, for coming on. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Great.
Atmosphere here with the Mets hitting all these home runs.
Yeah, I know. It's been fun. And I've been saying this to Tiki for the last week.
I was a Yankee fan my whole life. Then I started rooting for the Mets when I knew him. But Willie Randolph took over the Mets. I started rooting for both. So I'm happy for both teams to be doing well.
Great. So you're not a hater of the one team?
I'm not a hater of any New York team.
That's right.
That's the right answer.
Who hates other New York teams? That's
you.
So childish.
That's
for people
you.
Do that.
And Morash over there.
I've been saying to Tiki, as a Jet fan, this game tonight against Buffalo is the biggest game they've played in 9 years. And I think that says a lot about where the franchise has been. Tell me your guys' thoughts on the magnitude of what's at stake as they take on Buffalo tonight.
I knew you was going to lead me first. Again, it's a great opportunity ahead of the team. I think everybody's still excited about where they are. Me personally, I think they're going to have to come out early and play well. To establish themselves. They haven't looked too well to me in the last couple weeks. Well, to establish themselves offensively. Defense is always going to be solid. They're going to stay steady. But I just think offensively they need to come out and have a rhythm early to have a chance to win this game, because if not, you can't allow Josh Allen to get going or you fall behind. I don't think our offense is built to come back.
Right. Did you guys ever have a play caller change in the middle of the season? Because I did have that once when Jim Fossil took the play calling away from Sean Payton. And so it kind of worked, but it kind of didn't work. Did you guys have that at all?
No, I don't think I ever had that. You?
I've never had that happen through my career, but I think the first 7 years of my career, I think I had six different offensive coordinators. So that's that kind of comparable.
I mean, that's almost worse.
So it's just one of them things where these guys have to have some continuity. But again, from what I understand, it's Aaron's offense.
Right.
He knows it. He's been directing it. So I think pretty much whatever they call in, he's probably going to be – at their mercy to change it and get them into the right plays and make things happen.
Yeah, I didn't have as many OCs, but I had like 17 quarterbacks.
We're well aware as Jet fans.
You're talking about the significance of tonight. Yeah, obviously we're upset. You know, this is going on, that's going on, but we are playing for first place tonight.
I know.
And it feels like we're having a terrible season, but we're playing for first. But we were 0-2 in 98 when we went to the AFC Championship. So maybe we're just slow starters, but we are playing for first place tonight. We got to remember that.
I think that you're right, Wayne. That gets lost when we talk about teams that are underperforming. The NFL in total, there's a couple of teams that are really good. Minnesota's undefeated. The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated. But then it kind of starts to fall into everybody else.
Yeah.
So nobody's running away with any of this league yet.
But you know as well as anybody, if you just get to the game,
right,
get to the playoffs, you need a 3-game winning streak.
Right.
You know, you're getting a ticker tape right in New York.
Right.
No kidding. You know, it's funny. You talk about the 98 team. I also think about the year that winning the last time the Jets won the AFC East, which is still very vivid in my memory, 22 years ago in 2002. It felt like it came out of nowhere because you needed help final week of the year. You beat Green Bay, and it was almost like walking out of Giant Stadium. It was like, did we just win the division? How the hell did that happen? How did that feel when that was going on? Did it take you by surprise the way it felt like it did for us fans?
Yeah, it was crazy because you go from maybe not making the playoffs to actually winning the East. And if any fans were there, it was they were telling us, you know, the team's driving, they're going to kick it. And you hear the place go bananas, louder than I ever heard it, but it was during like a TV timeout.
Right.
And they showed it on the big screen. And that, I mean, Favre was playing for home. When they snapped the ball, we just put it on them, like by 40 or whatever. That was a great day and a great year.
Truly memorable for all of us. I think, like I say, everybody that was there understood what was happening when they announced that they had won the game. I think New England ended up winning or something like that to help us out. And from there, it was just pour it on Wayne. I think you scored I don't know how many touchdowns that game. I'm just excited to be a part of it, get a T-shirt and a hat.
We as fans want the T-shirt and hat again. I mean, it's amazing that that's the
right,
last
the simple,
time.
The simple things.
Yeah.
The little things.
Dude, well, I want to walk around with the Jets AFC Eastern Division Championship hat. You kidding me?
It's a relic. It's vintage.
I know. One thing from afar as a fan, it feels like Aaron's connection with Garrett Wilson just isn't there. How long does it normally take to kind of develop that chemistry with a quarterback as a wide receiver?
Well, you got to understand, Garrett has played with some other guys prior to Aaron coming in.
Not as good.
And from what
I said it. You didn't have to.
Okay. So from what I understand, the other quarterbacks that were in the system kind of allowed Garrett just to kind of freelance and give himself the opportunity to get open. And Aaron is more of a, look, 5 yards out, ball's coming. 10 yards in, ball's coming, more of a timing guy.
Right.
And so it takes time when you've got a guy that's really had to work hard to create something for himself with other guys that wasn't as talented as Aaron. So Aaron, when you're not where he expects you to be, probably comes off of him a little quicker than the other guys have, which is not giving him as many targets and as opportunities as he should get. But again, Garrett's going to have to be patient and understand that he's working with the first ballot Hall of Famer. And just continue to get in the film room and work with the coaches on figuring out how to get himself more involved early. Because believe it or not, just like with running backs or anything in the game, you have to get them involved early so that they feel like they're part of the game. If you allow the game to go too far without them being a part of it or feeling like he's a part of it, he can get lost in the mix. And so he just has to be patient. We know he's a great talent. He's going to be probably one of the greatest Jets wide receivers to ever walk through the building. And just have fun. That's all I can tell him, because right now it ain't fun.
It's interesting you say that about Aaron, because I keep hearing this when I go on the road and I talk about, what do you think Aaron Rodgers is like with the Jets? What's that system like? And they're like, they're trapped in Aaron's system. And you heard Tom Brady mention something about this as well, how they dumbed down football for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And what that means really is when things aren't 1-2, he's just going to scramble.
Yeah.
And so now you got to find somebody. And C.J. Stroud is great at doing that. Joe Burrow did it last night a couple times. Like, you're seeing some of these younger quarterbacks have success because it's backyard football.
Yeah.
Like Lamar does this half the time.
Yeah, all the time.
You know. So, but if you're with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't want to scramble. He can. Yeah. He doesn't want to. He can't anymore because he's 40. But he wants timing. You know, 10 yards, you need to be coming back to this football. 3 yards, you need to be on the slant. And so, that's, I think, an adjustment for a lot of young wide receivers because they haven't done it.
And I mean, he's had 2 years of just scramble football.
Right.
I mean, Zach Wilson, that was one of his gifts, was he was able to scramble, use his legs, and create plays. Now that's not there. Again, Aaron is a guy that's going to drop back. He's going to hit his back foot. Ball wants to come out. If that first read isn't there and if you're it, he's coming to the next guy. He may not get back to you. So, like I said, I know it's frustrating for him. I've watched him the last few weeks, and the media asks you a lot of questions about why you aren't being productive and all of that. I've been there. I know the feeling. It's just one of the things you're just going to have to work through, and don't lose your confidence, because we all see how talented he could be.
No doubt. We're talking Lavernius Coles, Wayne Corbett. We're live here at American Dream at the Dream Bar before the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. I was stunned. I think most of us were about the Robert Saleh firing. Wayne, I'll start with you. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, too. I know it was a big loss out there in London, but, you know, certainly, like I said, we're 2-3 playing for first place tonight, so I didn't expect something, you know, that big. And if there was going to be a shot fired, he was certainly not on the top of the list. We know Hackett is a problem right now. You know, I'm not the only one saying that. And if they had decided already to have Downs call the plays tonight, I just don't know what changed from Monday to Tuesday. I'm sure that will come out, but at this point, all we could do is hope that the change sparks the team tonight.
And I just think it's a disappointing segment for the team right now, because they aren't in a bad position, but they're just not playing well. And we all know when we brought him in, he was a defensive coach. He's defensive-minded. So he brought in staff to help run that offensive side of the football, and that's not happening. So I didn't see how they would benefit from firing a defensive-minded coach, and the defense is playing pretty well. I don't see how that gives them an uptick in the right direction. Maybe I'm missing something because I'm not in the locker room.
Right.
But just based on my little low-eye football IQ, I don't see it helping the team at all.
It also puts more pressure on Jeff Ulbrich, who was calling the defense already. So now he's got to be the head coach.
Yeah. And look, I have a trust me, I can promise you this, I have a lower football IQ than you. I never played the game. Oh, yeah, I did play two-hand touch when I was 8 years old.
Oh, lovely.
But it was 2-on-2, so it was really weird. My concern was, how does this help the team get better?
And that's the thing that, like, as a Jet fan going into tonight, I want to be hopeful. Because, look, they're playing for first place. Wayne, you're right. Like, a part of me is jacked up thinking this could be a first place team. But firing a coach in the middle of a season never works in the history of football. It's like, so why now?
How does it make it better? But how does it make it worse? I don't understand. Like I said, something must have happened. Maybe it'll come out.
Right.
But listen, he had four plays with Aaron Rodgers last year, and he had five plays this week. Right. This season, so it's kind of tough to figure out. Hope something comes out. But he'll find his place somewhere.
Right. He's fine.
But hopefully,
great coach.
This sparks it up.
Well, maybe we can experiment. Maybe we could hire you, like they did Jeff Saturday on TV. Something happens. Give us something. May something happen to get us in the right
direction.
By the
way, how random was that?
I've
never seen that. I've seen it in other sports. Like, you hire somebody who comes from the broadcast booth and you turn into a great manager or whatever. You never see that in the NFL.
No. Ever. That's the thing. That's because in football, this never...
Well, no. The thing in football, it is so hard to walk that ladder.
Right, right.
Like, to be the, graduate assistant, but like a quality control guy,
right.
Then maybe you're a special teams guy, then eventually you're a position coach, then maybe you're assistant to the OC, and then you become the OC. Like, it takes so long to become a head coach.
Yeah. Look at John Lynch.
Yeah, absolutely.
He becomes the GM there, and the success he had. It's just a football mind. Like, Chad and Vinny, bring them back and be calling the plays and stuff like that. It's just, you either know football or you don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think Hack knows much football.
Right. But we were talking about Jeff Saturday. I don't think Jeff Saturday knows any football. That was a weird, weird situation with him.
No doubt. The Bills, they're a weird freaking team. So they lose a number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. It looked like it was actually benefiting Josh Allen and the Bill offense early on. They got off to a great start. Then they started struggling. Who knows how healthy Josh is. Like, the Bills are the team to beat. I respect that. They are in the AFC East. What's your overall thoughts on Buffalo and where they stand right now after a great start, losing a top wide receiver, and being in this spot where the Jets were a win away from taking the AFC East for the temporary time?
Well, I would look at it like this. I guess I would have to say I'm happy we're home because I know it's tough to go up into Buffalo and play in that environment in these conditions and then have our fans here supporting us. Hopefully cheer us on to a victory later on, but that's what we need. The team needs some motivation. We don't need any negativity coming out of the locker room because we know these fans will give it to you when they're not happy with you. That's for sure. So luckily we're home.
Are you going?
Am I going to the game? Yeah, I'm gonna walk over there and just see how things go. If they start fussing at me, I will go back to the hotel and watch it there. I have no issue. I got no problem with that. But again, I mean, the excitement's in the building. I'm excited to be here and about the opportunity that we have in front of us. But that football instinct in the back of my mind always tell me, please start fast. Please start fast.
Well, you know, you hit on something, and I wasn't even thinking about it that much. So I was in the building for the New England game, and there was such optimism.
Yeah.
Like, we were chanting. We were screaming. Everybody was happy, and then we got rewarded. The Jets played a great game. I think right now, based on the way they're playing, there's a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't faced the wrath of the Jet fan quite yet.
Ooh.
They get off to a bad start. I could see Aaron here in his first booze as a New York Jet quarterback.
It ain't fun, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Do you guys hear that kind of stuff?
I can give you a story about one of my old teammates, how they did us, and I ain't going to call his name out, but he played tight end. He was in my draft class, in case y'all know who it is. So, you know, one of the greatest things about, you know, making it to the professional level is being able to run out and hear your name called. That's
right.
As you grow up as a kid, that's what you look forward to. Man, they're going to say my name. I get to run out in front of the fans. And as me being the split end, I was the first name called. So you hear me come out and chat, they clap a little bit. Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. And that tight end started, but boom, before we even kicked off the ball. And I was like, man. And Herm was like, listen, guys, we're going to have to run out as a team because we can't have these fans booing our guys. So, I know they have no sympathy for us, so I get it. Just I hope they come out and play well early.
You know it's not personal, though, right?
Man, please.
That's the same thing when I was out there early in my career and we had a quarterback who wasn't doing well. It was Neil O'Donnell.
Oh, yes.
And he was down by the side just with his helmet on. I don't know, he's thinking about stuff. So I went by him and I just hear ping, ping. And I look, and it's like people are throwing, like, batteries.
Oh, my God.
Hitting people up the helmets. I look at them like, I left them alone, man. Playing quarterback in New York has probably got to be the hardest thing there is to do.
No matter what happens, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your fault, it's your fault. It's like the head coach or the quarterback. We said this earlier. They're going to get all the blame.
Right.
So, you got to have a thick skin, and it gets really hard to perform when you know everybody is just waiting to boo you.
Right.
I felt like that. What was the Jet game I went to where Zach started? Remember, I was at the game, and they were just waiting to boo him.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually played well up until...
That's basically every game of Zach's career here.
Up until a point. And then he had a couple of bad plays, and then the boos came out.
But it's not waiting to boo somebody because we don't like somebody. It's waiting to boo because you're expecting this doom. Like, Zach Wilson is a nice kid. He was a terrible Jet. Mm. And that wasn't all his fault. I get it. Right. Like, coaching wasn't good, talent around. I get all that. But I think it's the anxiety of, oh, my God, I just dropped $150 a ticket. I'm sitting here, and I'm frustrated. So it's never personal. Well, I can't say it never because I'm sure there are people that do it because it's personal.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for most fans, like most people here, it's just booing out of frustration based on the results. That's all it is.
Well, they're not waiting for the season. They're waiting for 14 years for playoffs and 50-something
there
years.
There you go. Wayne gets it, man.
I get it.
No, you're right.
I'm a Jet Giant fan growing up, both of them, more Giants, actually. But I see how people feel. And, you know, sometimes people come up and say, hey, I'm a diehard Jet fan. And I say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I tried my best. We tried our best. Listen, we're trying our best out there. Like, oh, you're not losing in the end to get a good draft pick? I'm like, no. I'm like, that's not how it is. They're trying. It just hasn't worked out. But
no football player ever thinks that.
No, we're due, man.
You guys think they're winning tonight?
Mets? I'll take the Mets. Right?
That's the easy answer.
Yeah, they're
right
up
now.
Six. I think, they're definitely winning.
It's okay. You can be honest, because I'll be honest with all of you. I think the Jets are losing tonight. And I had a positive feeling about a week ago. And you can boo me. That's fine. I'm a Jet fan. I mean, how many people are walking into the building tonight with confidence? Honestly. We just raised his hand.
That guy right there in the Josh Allen jersey.
Jets! Yeah. I'm just being honest. I had confidence last week. What a moron I was.
I want them to win, but I wouldn't risk anything on China. That's all I'm saying. I'm cheering for them just as much as anybody, but I wouldn't.
I think that answer says it all. We appreciate it. Wayne, Lavernius, thank you very much for coming by. It's awesome seeing you. True Jet legends. Thank you, Lavernius. Lavernius Coles, Wayne Krabet here at the Dream Bar at American Dream. We will come back. Sean's got a special Cinco de Fivo list. More on the Yankees, more on this Jet game, and more of your calls. We are Evan and Tiki broadcasting live from American Dream, and we thank our wonderful sponsors. We thank the New Jersey Hall of Fame at American Dream, and of course, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Sunshine in a Can.